All right, 5 and verse 33. Well, this, there is, we've got one more verse for women, okay? One more verse for women. Plain. Kai. Hime. Poi. Ka. Hina. Ekostos. Pain. Hialtu. Veneka. Hutos. Agato. Agapato. Hos. Yotom, Hei, Dei, Gine, Hina, Bobete, Ton, Andra. This starts off with plain. Now, you can't translate that. You have to get the idea of plain. It means nevertheless, however, furthermore. And plain kai is furthermore also, okay? It's a continuation of the same subject that we've been talking about all the time. And then it says, he makes, ye. Now that's nominative plural, second person pronoun. Nominative plural. Now, the grammar in here is really important because it's going to go from, the grammar is going to be wrong. Incorrect. But it's going to be theologically correct. And God does that. And he uses the most perfect language in the world, but he means, it really means something very important. Nevertheless, also, ye, you all, the ones, plural, and then we have the word cough. Now, what do you think that word cough comes from? Some very word, it's a contraction, and it's spelled like this for euphony. Anybody know where it comes from? Kapha. Kapha. All right? And it's just Kaphina. Because it would be Kadahina. The Greeks use this for euphony. In other words, it sounds better if they say Kaphina. All right? So see how that smooth that is? Instead of Kadahina, Kaphina. It goes together. It runs together. Kaphina, according to each one. Accused each singular. Now, it said, you all, and then each one of you. Singular. Now, that doesn't grammatically really round out, but theologically it does. According to each one of you, hekostos. All right? The himself wife. Now, what it's saying is wives. Women. Pay attention, it says. Each one of you women. All right. In this same manner, now it's talking to husbands also, you husbands love as himself the wife of him. Love your wife as yourself. You want to feed yourself, don't you? You ever get hungry? All right. Then when you're hungry, your body calls for food, doesn't it? That's why I come in here and smell all these chocolate chip cookies and I'm hungry. Your body gets hungry, and then you want to eat, doesn't it? Now, your wife is hungry and you say you can't have anything to eat. When you get hungry, Brother Bill, you want to eat, don't you? And you tell your wife you can't have anything to eat? To sit there and starve? Remember, I had a cousin, had a cup. What? Oh, you made that mistake one time?
She said, are you limiting me? I said, no, but sometimes you better run.
I'm glad she's not here tonight.
I wonder if he got the neon baby.
I just think he went bald headed. I think she pulled it off. Love your wife. Had a cousin one time. He'd go out and he'd give her a hamburger and give me a T-bone steak. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
Or whatever. A bowl of soup and give me a filet mignon. I tell you what, that's not the way you love your wife. And you know what? Your wife is going to catch on, Brother Bill, if you treat her like that. She'll catch on. And then you're in trouble. I'm going to give her the steak.
You know, problems.
All right. You love your wife as yourself. And it says the wife. Now it says wives now. Wives. Phobete. What English word do you think comes from this word phobete?
Phobia.
Phobia. What does phobia mean?
Fear.
Fear. All right, fear. Now, when you think of a phobia, how about arachnophobia?
Spiders.
All right, claustrophobia.
Closed places.
In closed places. Now, what do you do when people are, if you're afraid of a spider and you have arachnophobia, do spiders scare you? Yeah, they tremble. Sometimes people faint. They even have heart attacks sometimes when they see something like this.
It'd be worse if you saw one in the elevator.
If you were claustrophobic and you were had arachnophobia and you were in a can with a spider, you'd be in a lot of trouble. All right? Now, the idea, if you were in one of them MRI machines and you were claustrophobic and had arachnophobia, and all this kind of stuff all at the same time, all of them came up on you at one time, you'd be in a lot of trouble, wouldn't you? Phobia. Phobete. This is third person singular, present, subjunctive, and middle voice. Let's figure this one out. Present tense. It means do this all the time, wives. Okay? Subjunctive mode. Now, what does the subjunctive mode mean? That's a mode of doubtful affirmation. Brother, no.
Conditional.
It's a conditional, in other words. May or may not. Why do you think God put it in the subjunctive mode? Because a lot of women won't do this. They may or they may not to. They ought to. And then it's in the middle voice. What's the middle voice? Every mode, tense, and voice in Greek is inspired of God. I mean that. The Bible is totally inspired, every thread of it. Why do you think it might be in the middle voice? Because it's something that comes from volition. Totally volition. Now, we've been through a lot of the commandments of God telling men to love their wives. And now it tells the last thing that God has to tell women is to fear their husbands. Fear your husbands. Fear your husband. Phobia. What do you think about that?
Naturally?
Women
are to fear their husband?
Yep. Fear your husband. In what way? I tell you what, if a woman had to fear her husband too much, she shouldn't even marry him. Huh? If she was really afraid of him. Now, some women have got the reason to be afraid of their husbands. What do you think it's talking about here, Brother Wallace?
Well, I think it's not being scared in the sense, but a high degree of reverence.
There you go. Do we fear God?
Yes.
Well, the sinners really should fear God, shouldn't they? Huh? A sinner should really fear God because they don't want to be around God. And in the end time, the only thing they're going to see of God is the judgment, isn't it? So all you've got to fear of God is the main fear you have as a sinner is coming before God to be judged. So there's no reason for you to want to be in the presence of God, is there? If you're a sinner.
Is this the same? Can this be related to Sarah calling her husband?
Yes, he called him Lord. Lord. A wife. It talks in 1 and 2 Timothy and in Titus also. It talks about relationships in the family and the home. And it said that if a wife is married to a man, they're married, and she goes to church, and she comes to know the Lord. It says for her to fear her husband, to reverence her husband. Why? Remember what we went to all the way back to the book of Genesis. Why? Because she came by the hands of God from the sides of man. That's where she came from. She was created out of man. Where did man come from? Right from the person of God. Now, should man fear God, reverence God? Okay? Now, in the way that man is to reverence God, a woman is to reverence her husband in the same manner. Okay? There is an order that God has given in the human family. There is God, there is a man, and there is a woman, and there's children in the family. I keep telling you husbands this. Men, you're not going to get out of being the head of your home. You may not want to be. But you are the head of your home. If you're not the head of your home, you're sinning. And you're supposed to be your head of your home like Christ is the head of the church. Christ doesn't beat his church up. He loves his church and nurtures her. And a husband is supposed to love and nurture his wife in the Word of God. We studied that last week, remember? He's supposed to wash her with the Word of God. He's supposed to guide her in God's Word, in God's ways. Not only in reading the Bible to her, but what? Living the Bible in front of her. Alright? Now, if a woman is married to a lost man, the Word of God says that that man could be won to the Lord without her saying one single word. Why? Because you say there is an order. God has made an order. And if I am going to be godly and if I'm going to be a believer, then I have to reverence you because you are the head of our home. You do that. The head of the home.
Well, there's a problem there. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, the women are usually smarter than the men. They got better degrees in school.
Is that nowadays, brother, or has it been all the way back to Sarah?
But it
doesn't matter which one's the smartest, does it? What is the order? What is the order?
Well, as it says here.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
It doesn't matter how smart you are. My wife's smarter than I am. That woman's a genius. There's nothing she can't do. She's smart. But every now and then I said, remember who your Lord is. And then she'll say, yes, Lord. All right. Here's God. All right. Especially when she gets out of sorts, you know. She's threatening to hit me and bite me and kick me and all this kind of stuff. I said, wait just 1 minute. Remember who I am. All right.
And then she
here's God. Man came from God, didn't he? Directly from the person of God. Here's man. All right. Man is supposed to rule the whole universe under God. It's God's universe. We don't own anything here. Man, I tell you what, people, you don't own one speck of dirt. That dirt will outlast you, I'm telling you. But you are to watch over it because it's God's. Okay? Man came from God. He flows down from God. Okay? Then God created woman. What does woman mean?
Out of the side of man.
Out of the sides of man. That's what it means. Out of man. That's what woman means. So here we have God, the creator. We have man. And then we have woman that was created out of the sides of man. Not side, but sides. She came from his bones and from his fleshes and from his bloods. Literally, in Hebrew. So what order we have? You have one, two, and we have three. Now, does this mean that a man, that a male is better than a woman? No. It's just God's order. That's all. God's order. And until you get this right, you're going to have problems. And then we have children. Are children less than their parents? No. When Adam and Eve had a child, you know what Eve said? By the way, Eve means the mother of all living. Living. Now, I want you to go back and just see something here. This is very beautiful in Hebrew. God cursed mankind with death after the fall, didn't he? He cursed man. He told him he's going to die. Dying thou shalt die, is what he said. You'll begin the process of dying once you have sinned now. And now you're going to die. Now you're separated from me and all of this. And then the woman conceived. Why she didn't conceive before, I don't know. But now she conceives, and she brings forth a child. And Adam calls her, he should have called her the mother of all dying, because she was going to be the mother of all dying, wasn't she? But what did he believe about God? Same thing Abraham did when he was going to go up there and offer Isaac. Abraham, when he went up to offer Isaac, his son, for a sacrifice, he told his servants, my son and I are going to go up on the mountain, we're going to make a sacrifice, and we are going to come back. Plural. Abraham knew, and he believed this, and in the New Testament it tells this very plainly. Abraham knew that if he believed the commandment of God, that through that son there was going to be the seed, this Messiah was going to come forth out of that son. And he knew that if that promise was true and he believed God, then he knew that if he cut that child's throat, if he sacrificed him, that God was going to raise him from the dead. He believed in the resurrection. If he killed him, that God would give him back. He knew that. Now, the woman, Adam calls her the mother of all living. Not the mother of all dying, but the mother of all living. Why?
Because through her would come the redeemer.
Through her would come the Messiah. And then, the promise that they had. Okay? The first child they had, they named him what? What was her first child's name?
Abel.
No.
Isaac.
No. Who said that?
Abel.
Who said that?
Cain.
Cain. Thank you. Cain. What does Cain in Hebrew mean?
Something about death.
Cain. What's Terry?
He said he was a man-child.
What does Cain mean? This is really important. I want you to write this down now. Remember this because this is very important. Cain means gotten. Gotten, received. We have gotten a man, even the Lord. They thought he was the Messiah. They thought the Messiah had been born. Boy, what a disappointment they had. Now, what a disappointment. It wasn't time yet. They have gotten the man. He said, and then Eve said, I have created a child like God created me and Adam. Adam comes from God. I come from Adam. Now, here the child comes from me. This is the Messiah. I have gotten a man, even the Lord. Yes.
Was that because when they said that your seed will bruise thy seed? Is that
that's the first promise of the Messiah, Genesis 3:15. And so they believed that. Adam believed it, so did Eve. Brother Bill.
They knew Adam and Eve, who was created in the Garden of Eden, was perfect. After they sinned, even they knew that the Messiah had to come to...
There had to be a Redeemer, because God promised a Redeemer in Genesis 3:15. It was a promise and a curse. It was a curse on Satan, and it was a promise on him, on the human race. All right. Now, we have this. We have life promised. This woman is going to bring forth the Messiah. The woman does not pass on sin in the human race. It's the man that passes on sin. But we, from here and here, we make children. And the children, where do they come from? Ish and Ishah, man and woman. Okay? So, naturally, who's supposed to be the head of the children?
No man.
Daddy and mama. Alright? Daddy and mama. Who's the head of the home? Daddy. And mama's under daddy. And the children are under all of them. Both of them. Okay? Alright. If you don't get that right, that order right, things aren't going to work out. Sometimes children think they are the boss. Did you know that? Sometimes children think they are the boss. This brings us on to the next verse. Just one thing right after the other. Sometimes children think they're the boss. Now, the woman is supposed to fear her husband. Now, in history, have women been mistreated by the masculine gender? They sure have. Until God made man and woman equal in his sight, women didn't have any rights. And in the Muslim culture today, women have very little rights for today. And even in the Catholic culture, which is considered Christian, women have very little rights, don't they? The only rights that women have ever had is in real, true New Testament churches. They have rights. Rights. They can go to God just like you can. When a woman in a Mormon church, a woman is a created thing. Did you know that? A woman is a created thing. She is a vessel of pleasure only. That's it. And the vessel to bring forth children. When a woman dies, if you're a Mormon, that woman cannot ever be resurrected out of the ground, can she? Not by God. How is a woman resurrected in the Mormon church? Because she's lesser. She's less. She's not even an eternal spirit, is she?
The husband has to raise the veil.
The husband, when they are married in the Mormon church, they have a new name. And the husband gives the wife the new name. And when she's buried, they put this veil over her face. And if he wants to rest, if she's been a good woman now, then her husband may resurrect her if he wants to. If she hasn't been good, forget it, stay there. I mean, you're eternally sleeping. Because the woman has no soul. Only the men have souls. You look at that, that's not from the Word of God, is it?
No.
That's not from the Word of God.
Where do they get it from?
Well, they get it from the
men.
Yeah, that's where they came from. They came from the master race. The master gender, as they want to think of themselves.
By the name of Joseph Smith.
Well, Joseph Smith got brought that in. Brigham Young did his job too. Yeah, he did his part also.
What a bunch of people.
We're going to show a video on Wednesday night as soon as we can get to that class over there. We've got several other people. We've got a mission field. Our missions are going to Utah to witness the Mormons. They want to see these films that we have. And I'm going to show them again. And I know a lot of you haven't seen them. I'm going to tell you something that is really eye-opening, because the Mormons did these films. Mormons did. The Mormons are telling us how to reach Mormons, what reached them. Okay? All the other stuff, we have all the information in the world, but this is how Mormons reached Mormons. All right? This is their own method. Okay? All right. 6 and verse 1. We're in the last chapter of the book of Ephesians now. Ta Tekna. Hiho akuete. Tois. Ganusa. Kimon. And we have in Kirio here, but that's in brackets. It's understood. Tuto. Gar. Esten. Dekaion. Now, Proverbs 6 and 20 and 23 and verse 29 and Colossians 3 and 20. Let's go read some of these. Proverbs 6 and 20. This is all the Word of God. No verse in the Bible it can be separated from all the other Bibles. It's all connected. Okay? So, Proverbs 6 and 20 and 23 and verse 22 and then Colossians 3 and 20. All right. Who's got Proverbs 6 and 20? Anybody quick enough to get that one there? Proverbs 6 and 20. Brother Bill. And then 23 and 22, I think it is. Can't even read my own writing. 23 and verse 22, I think it is. Who's got 6 and 20? Bill? Let's shout her out there.
My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother.
All right. Son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. In other words, listen to what? Your parents. Okay? If they're teaching you the right way. Okay? Proverbs 23 and verse 22. Well, Wally, have you got that one? 23 and verse 22. Or have you got that, David?
I've got it here. Okay.
23 verse 22. And then Colossians 3 and verse 20.
Hearken unto thy father that begot thee. And despise not thy mother when she is old.
All right. These are commandments in the Word of God, and the Bible all agrees to this. All right? Colossians 3 and verse 20. Colossians, Terry.
Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is the well-pleasing to the Lord.
All right. Now, the Bible, we've gone through the different Bible in different places, and it all tells us one thing. And then we're going to have another verse also. Next verse. And we're going to find out where it comes from. The children. The techna. All right? The children. Ye obey. Ye be under authority. Know your place. Hear and listen. That's all in this word. Hippo akuete. Know your place. You need to teach your children this thing. Especially today. If they think they're up here. You know, when they become 13 years old, something happens to them then. Has anybody not had trouble with teenagers?
Not too bad.
Pretty
good. Grandkids.
You go down to the courthouse, and people fight over their children all the time. Especially when they're little. But they make a joke down there. It says that when they become teenagers, especially 13, 14, 15, 16. They don't care who has them. They just want them out of sight. they don't want them anymore. They're not so happy with them. They make their parents very uncomfortable.
You know, somebody said that if you were born before 1930, you never were a teenager.
Well, in some societies, but that...
It could have been. That's what we're talking about.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Before 1900, when you were a teenager, you were grown up. Because you, when you're 13, 14 years old, if you're a woman, you were likely married. And you were being a grown up. You missed all of that teenage business. You just took all your energies right out on scrubbing and washing kids and scrubbing floors and cooking and all of that. And there was nothing wrong with that, because mankind had been doing that for about 6,000 years. But all of a sudden, society changed, didn't it?
But isn't that each generation has got more lack?
Yeah, more. Yes, we have more time, don't we? People are getting married later, and they're not having children anymore. So sometimes people are children when they're 80, still. They've never learned. They've never grown up. All right? The children learn to hear and listen and obey. And it's in the imperative mode. Imperative is a what? A commandment. To the parents. To the generators or co-generators of you. All right? In the Lord. Now, I said a while ago, in Kyrio, that's what it's talking about. Some children that are born into this world are just born to raise themselves because their parents are children. And that's a sad, sad situation. Right now, we have such a delinquent society with delinquent adults that delinquent adults are raising delinquent children. And so now they're beginning to put the parents in jail. Because they're not raising the children. Where my daughter goes to school, they have a homework program. The parents are going to work with the children's homework. You are going to do that. And you're going to sign the homework. If you don't, they're going to know why. Because that's part of their education, you training them at home. I think it's real good. We need to do that. You need to pour everything into your children that you can pour into them to make them citizens. What do I mean by citizens?
Teach them human beings.
Teach them to be human beings. Responsible human beings. First of all, Christians. That is very important. You're supposed to raise your children to be Christians. And a Christian does what? They don't live off the system. They support the system, don't they? All right. Mm-hmm. We become citizens. We become We support our churches and we support our country. Brother Bill.
We have changed from being parents, which we should be as Christians, to raise our children to where letting society raise our children for us.
We need to raise our children. The raising of your children is in your home. Don't expect the school to educate your children. You need to educate your children too. When you come upon, when they start teaching the wrong things, say that's the wrong thing. You have to know what you're doing, what you're teaching. For this is just. Dikaiōn. Alright? This is straight. This is just. It's dikaiōn. It's just. That's what we should do. That's what children should do. And then, 6 and verse 2. Here is the word where the word Timothy comes from. Timothy. You know, Paul had a Timothy. Time, phone, patera,
su,
kai, pain, matera, hatus, estin, infile, prote, and epongalia. All right. This next verse I'll have to spend the whole classroom on. Page 26 and verse 3. We might get over there. Honor, respect. Be honorable to your father. Honorable. A 100 years ago, many fathers told their children, especially the boys, when you leave this house, remember who you are. If you are a rhymer, you go out and be a rhymer. Knows it real well. You remember who you are. Remember your family. Remember who your father is. The most horrible thing you can do is to go out and be dishonorable to do something wrong. Honor. The name Timothy means honorable. Honor the father of you and the matera, the mother, which it is a commandment. First, the word infile there means an edict. An edict. A commandment first in or with a promise. It's laced with a promise. Exodus 20 and verse 12 and Deuteronomy 5:16. Go back there in the Old Testament now. That's what we're talking about here. Now, thou shalt not steal. Okay?
Exodus 5, Jim.
Exodus 20 and verse 12 and Deuteronomy 5 and 16. Thou shalt not steal. If you stole what was supposed to happen to you, Brother Harry, you would deal with a lot of people like that, don't you? That broke these commandments. What happens when you steal? You are incarcerated today. Back then you had your hands chopped off or your head chopped off or you're stoned to death. There were consequences. So we have a commandment and we have the consequences. If you do this, then you're going to get this done to you. Thou shalt not kill. What was the result if you killed?
You would need to say yes.
You would do it. Have you ever heard of the term eye for eye, hand for hand, foot for foot, tooth for tooth? Mm-hmm. All of that, ear for ear? What happens if you decided to go up to somebody, Brother John, and poke their eye out back then?
You got your own eye poked out.
Okay? All of these were commandments. But they were with curses. What happened if you got mad at a guy and bit his ear off? You lost your ear. I tell you what, it worked. God really knows what deters crime. Okay? Now what happened if you got mad and knocked somebody's tooth out? Guess what happened? They walked before you and they got them a stick out here and they got them a hammer. Which tooth did you knock out? Oh, this one over here. Okay, stand over here, old boy. They get the Dale out there and they knock his tooth out. That's a great deterrent to crime. Wouldn't you think that'd work today, Brother Harry?
It'd work,
wouldn't it?
Yeah, but if a child has been traumatized, then it don't. Then you don't do those things.
I'll tell you what, these traumatic commandments here and curses did work. They still work. All right. Now let's read Exodus 20 and verse 12. You got that, brother?
Yeah. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
All right. Deuteronomy 5:16. Terry.
Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God hath commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you.
All right. Now I want somebody, do you know how to interpret Scripture? Do you know how to interpret Scripture? What? How do you interpret Scripture?
By Scripture?
Yeah. Well, how do you interpret Scripture? Who's speaking? Who's he speaking to? And what's the subject? That, now, you can go all five. Who, what, where, when, why. You can go all those five things. That's the way you interpret history or anything. Okay? Now, who's speaking here? Moses is given some commandments by the way of God. And who's he giving them to? The children of Israel. All right. How many of you have ever heard preached that if you want to have a long life, you obey your father and mother?
I've read it.
You've read it? That's not what it's talking about here, is it? Is it? How many times have you heard that preached? Well, a lot of times. I mean, they preach that over here. Well, you're going to live a long time if you honor your mother and father, Marilyn.
I was
going to
say, I did.
Well, that's what you've heard preached. What's it talking about? What is the Scripture talking about? Go back and read it now. Go back and read the Scripture to me and tell me what it says. The last Scripture, Terry, that you read.
Honor your father and mother.
Honor your father and mother, what? And what happens?
That the Lord your God has commanded you.
Read on.
That your days may be long. And that it may be well with you in the land.
Okay, that your days may be long with you, long in the land. What land? The promised land. Now, did God give a promise to the children of Israel? He gave a promise to Abraham. He's going to give them this land. But what with that promise came some stipulations. Now, if they didn't do what God told them to do, what was going to happen to them?
Get kicked out.
They're going to get kicked out of the land. All right?
They did.
Mm-hmm. Now, God brought a whole lot of people out of Egypt, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
By the time he got through with them, almost every one of them were dead. Did you know that? Because they weren't fit subjects for his promised land. But every one of them that went into the promised land, God had trained up right. He saw all them other ungodly buzzards die. Every one of them had to die. Some of them were killed by God himself. The ground opened up and swallowed some of them right down to hell. So it's
just old Joshua and Caleb.
Yeah, Joshua and Caleb. That was it. Joshua and Caleb. That's all. Made it into the land. But what did Joshua and Caleb teach their children? What did Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the sons of Israel teach their life, their children? What were they supposed to teach? How did they remember for hundreds of years in Egypt that God had made a promise to them? Because their mothers and fathers promised them. God promised us. We were special. God called us out. All right. Six and verse 3. We're maybe going to have to go back and do this whole thing. Because I want you to understand what this verse means. I don't want you to leave this classroom until you know what this verse means. What age do we live in?
The last in the church age.
We live in the last part of the church age.
Laodicea.
Okay. But we live in the church age. Now, does remaining long in the land apply to us today?
No.
We're not in the promised land, are we? God doesn't promise us any land at all, does he?
No. Yeah, we're pilgrims and soldiers.
We are vagabonds.
Mm-hmm.
We are on the... how many of you ever heard of the song Waltzing Matilda?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know what that's talking about? I'm not talking about dancing. It's talking about a guy carrying a stick over his shoulder with a bag in it with all of his belongings in it. He is a sojourner. He is a... just walking along, carrying everything he has in a little bag. All he is a pilgrim in the land. Okay?
We used to call them hobos.
Hobos, that's right.
Vagabonds.
Abraham was a hobo. That's what he was. One of these days he's going to have the promised land. His children will have the promised land. Now today, how do you think this promise relates to us?
Well, I guess we're hobos making it way through, hoping for that promised land.
That promised land, the promised land which is heaven. But there is a place of the service today, isn't there? Where is it? In God's churches. So how are we, if we want our children to hold on to the promises of God, what are we supposed to do?
Teach them.
Teach them to respect us first. Respect the ways of God. Respect the teachings. What are we supposed to teach in our homes? Number one, as fathers, we're supposed to do what? Teach your children to respect God. Respect God. Exodus 21 through 12 and Exodus or Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16. Actually 5, 6 through 16. All of these, you can go through each and every one of these. 6 and 3 says, Hina, you, Su, Genete, Kai, Ese, Macrochronois, Epi, Case, Gase. Alright? In order that good to you it may become, and you shall become long time upon the earth. What land are we supposed to long for? Beulah land. Remember the song Beulah land? Where's your brother? That's what we need your dad here. He'd sing us that song. Beulah land.
On the mountain.
Beulah land. Looking forward to that mansion beyond the hilltop.
Now,
this mansion just over the hilltop.
Is it the millennium or is it the final estate?
Well, we're looking for the final estate in all reality. We pray for the coming of Jesus, which ushers in the millennium. Well, that Lord is with his people up there, and that's the party time. The 1,000 years party that we're going to be. You know, 1,000 years of preparation for the eternal age.
Actually, that's what people are longing for. It's called the utopia now. That's probably better than that, even.
Yeah. In the Bible, it says in Hebrew, it says, in order that good it might become to you, in Exodus 20 and verse 12, and that you shall keep on being, is what it literally says. It's in the Hebrew, it's the hithiel stem and the imperfect tense. All right? That you shall keep on being part of the promise of God. That you shall keep on being part of the promise of God. You teach your children. When you're young, you should teach your children as they're growing up and you're growing up with them. Okay? Teach your children and show your children how to obey God.
Now, how do you do this?
By living it, for one thing. Show them by example. That's what God. That's the best way. Take them to church. Teach them God's Word. Show them. Do everything you can for them.
My daddy, he always had, every morning before we ever eat anything, he had that little Bible out and read it and had prayer. Mm-hmm. And then we started in eating.
Yeah. It is good to pray before you eat. It's good to pray when you go down at nighttime and lay down. And these are important things. Have you done this with your children?
Yeah.
I remember my grandma used to teach me, and I would say something real funny at the end of it. What would I? An example to your children. Pray with your children. Take care of them. Love your children like God loves you. You know, when you teach your children, when you start raising them up, teach them as if you were God's. You were standing between you and God. Because so many times you are. If you give them a bad example, you are standing between your children and God. If you give them a good example, they will see God in you. And the way they respect you and treat you is the way that they're going to treat God.
Unfortunately, it don't always work.
No, it doesn't always work, brother. But what is our responsibility?
We do it.
Why doesn't it always work?
I guess it's the cussedness
of the middle voice. It is a subjunctive mode. That's why. God does not make robots. He does not make robots. He creates a human race that if it serves Him, He will be glorified by it. If it doesn't, He will not be. But the ones that want to worship God and worship God, it is done, and He receives real glory and real worship because they're not doing it because He told them to do it and makes them just turn the key and makes them do it. Yes?
Doesn't the word that if we will teach our children and bring them up in the admonition of the Lord, they may stray, but they'll come back.
They will know where to go. They'll know where to go back. Mm-hmm. They'll know where to go. A lot of times, children go astray, don't they? Because they're rebellious.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you go astray?
Same reason.
Because you're rebellious. All right? And when you're rebellious, children watch that. The Septuagint here, it has a word genitive, all right? And it's second person singular, second aorist, subjunctive, and middle voice, all right? That's what how they translated it in the Septuagint. But Paul puts a total different view, and he does this by inspiration now. He's changing it. You know when you know a language, it's really beautiful. Because you can see this.
Is that why this word's capitalized? Because it's quotation?
It's quotation, all right, but that word is changed. But Paul changed this by the inspiration of God. Now, this one is second person singular, all right, because each and every person has to make that decision. It is up to you. You show your children the right way to go. Don't show them the wrong way to go and hope that they'll turn around on their own. You've got to show them the right way to go. The Bible has told us every parent that brings a child into this world has the God-given responsibility, and you're not going to get out of it, that you're supposed to raise them children to the best of your ability. Period. In the right way. Then, here it is esse, second person singular, future. Future tense. What does future mean? It shall happen. And it's indicative mode, that's a fact, and it's middle voice. Why will it happen? Because each and every... You know what? Calvinism doesn't have a leg to stand on, Brother Wally. Not in the languages. Not the hyper-Calvinist. Because every time it comes down to volition, doesn't it? It comes down to volition. It comes down to volition with your children.
So we can't accept the Lord for our children.
No. You can't do it.
Don't you wish you could, though?
Don't you wish that you could just make all our mistakes for them and take all the beatings for them?
Yeah. You do.
But you know what? God made them a free agent. That is the most dangerous thing that God ever gave Adam and our angels. conspiracy.
Well, that is sovereignty.
That is sovereignty.
God made man in his blood flowing likeness, and his shadow casting likeness, and his spiritual image, and in his sovereign image. Sovereignty means the right of choice. Why does God do things? Because he has the right to, doesn't he? He created all of them. But how could he ever, ever get glory from robots? How can it ever happen? Now, how many children of God have you ever seen that died young? Have you ever seen a preacher get killed?
Yeah.
You ever seen a preacher die young?
Yeah.
Well, the greatest preachers that I've ever known in my life died before they were 60 years old. I just couldn't understand it. They had so much more to offer. J. Lewis Guthrie, one of the greatest men that I believe that ever lived, and the most brilliant man, died when he was still young. He had so much to share. But I'm going to tell you something. He made disciples. He made some children. You know, in this class, I hope that I'm training my children. I'm leaving the team one of these days. One of these days I won't be here, but you will be. And you, I'm entrusting you with God's word that you will get this and pass it on to others. Roy M. Reed, one of the greatest men of God ever knew, died. I don't think he was 60 years old. Dr. Martin Cannon, I should have said Dr. Roy M. Reed, and Dr. Martin Cannon died before they were 60 years old. Bad. But you know what? Their legacy still lives on. You hear me. You hear them through me. You hear J. Lewis Guthrie through me. My teachers made sure that Brother Carl Farrar is gone. Now, he lived a long time. Brother Carl Farrar was about this tall, crippled since he was 5 years old with muscular dystrophy. The oldest living muscular dystrophy victim. But you know what he did all of his life? He taught in the seminary. He passed on the children everything that he'd been taught. His children. And I was one of them. God will hold us accountable as mothers and fathers to teach our children the way of the Lord. And who has the greatest judgment of all? Teachers. Teachers. We are all teachers, aren't we? The more you know, the more will be required from you. In Palestine, this promise was made to a bunch of Jews. God told them literally, if you want to be recipients of the promises of God, then you teach your children the right way to go. Because if you don't take time right now to teach your children the right way to go, they're going to go wrong, and so will you. When you get old, you're going to get booted out of the land. You'll be drug out of here with grandpas on canes and grandmas. You won't get to stay in the land because you didn't do your job. Now, I didn't say that some of them could go wrong. There was a real good king, wasn't there, one time? Remember his name? Cleaned up all the dirty altars and Israel. Good man. But he got killed. He got killed doing good. But you know what? His legacy lives on because it gives us an example today. He may not be long-lived, but what you teach your children will be passed on for generations. How long will a sin be passed on for the generation? From four to the seventh generation. On and on and on. But how much can righteousness be passed on? Forever. Eternal. Remember when I tell you, go out and do something eternal this week? You go out and do something eternal this week. You go out and teach your children the right way to go. Even if you're old. You have a responsibility. Aim them in the right direction. Especially if you've got young children. Aim them in the right direction.
Well, old grandpa's preaching again.
Yeah.
You don't want it.
That's good. Do it anyway. Why? Because God's not going to let you off the hook, Brother Wally. Is he? Is he ever going to say shut up?
Nope.
No. You've got to do it. Because we are responsible. You're responsible for your children to tell them the truth that they're 50 years old. Or 60. Or 15. Or 13. Whatever. 21.
But you can't preach one thing and live another.
No, you have to live it. And you have to breathe it. And act it in front of you. You've got to. You've got to do it. In order that good with you it shall become, it may become. Third person singular, second aorist, middle and subjunctive voice. Look at the middle voice and subjunctive mode. Look at that. It's there every time. Upon the land. All right? And you shall become. You shall live long upon the earth and the land. You want your children to know the right way to go. You take them to the New Testament church and you teach them. You teach them the right way to go. You show them. And hope that in the next generation, your grandchildren will be in church being taught the right way. Because how many of you want to see your children go to hell? Anybody? Grandchildren? Some of the mean little rascals are terrible, but do you want to see them go to hell? It depends upon very much upon you, doesn't it? Will you ever get out of the responsibility of being a father and a mother? No. You know the right time to become the right father and the right mother is now. Right now. Today. You're responsible today. To become the right mother and the right kind of father to your children, both of them.
We're not just responsible to our children, but we're responsible to everybody we meet.
Yeah.
To do the same thing as we would for our children.
Yeah.
Everybody that meets us, we should treat just exactly like we treat our children. They should see us as an example to them.
You know, Jim,
we're children of God.
Now, how does God build churches? How does He build churches?
Through people.
Through families. Think about that. Now, I go back in my ministry and I see families. You know a little bit about it, Brother David. Have you seen that? You see families reach families? Sometimes it takes 30 to 40 years. Sometimes it takes a death. Sometimes it takes deaths, plural. Levi Montrevon was one of the steadfast people in my life that I've known in the Montrevon family. He was the first one I baptized. And he went through nothing but torment and trials all of his life. A man of trials, a man of sicknesses and miseries. But the man stuck in there. He stuck in there regardless of all of it. And he kept telling me all the time for the last two or three years, he said, Brother Jim, you're going to do my service. And I want you to preach the Word of God to them like you preach to me. It's a captive audience now. You do it, Jim. You do it, brother. Because they're going to be there and they may never hear the gospel any other time. When I preached his funeral, the 21st of this month, a girl was saved in that service. His brother came to know the Lord absolutely as his Savior in that service. He knew it for sure. And he walked down there. I mean, I sat down on the front aisle from the pulpit up there, sat down. He came right there and he started talking to me right there. Instantly. When I was there, he met me down there. He said, I want to be the kind of person that my brother was. To be the kind of example to my family because I got children that are going to hell.
and grandchildren. And I need to be the kind of father to them that he was to his children. Now, did Levi's children all follow in the Lord?
No.
But did he give them the right example? He
sure did. He sure did it.
And at his death, a person was saved. That one person that I know of. And I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of people listening to that sermon on the website. They've listened to it a lot. I poured my heart out to his family. God's Holy Spirit did his job. But you know what was the most powerful witness there? It wasn't my words. It was Levi's life. And I baptized his brother. And he's very crippled. Everything. And it just leaves waves, doesn't it? But where's it all start? Teach your children to reverence God. Teach them their place in the home. And that's how we build churches. And that's how we keep our children in covenant relationship with God in God's churches today. That's how it happens. That's how it happens. That's how we evangelize the world. That's how we make Matete. That's how we make the Talmudim disciples. Thank you for your attention tonight. This is these were beautiful, weighty verses. I hope you understand them better now than you ever did before. It doesn't mean that your children are going to live a long time. It doesn't mean that you're going to live a long time, but it means that they will remain in the promises of God. They will remain, and they will hear, and they will know the promises of God. Well, come back next week. We're going to look at some more. We're going to talk about slaves next week. And if any of you have a job, you know what a slave is. It's a guy that goes to work.
He's a guy that goes out there and works by the
what? By the sweat of your nostrils. As it says in Hebrew. You're down there working and you're sweating up the storm. Even if you're in an air-conditioned hospital, aren't you, Brother John? Yeah. Sweating. Work. And you know what? It's good for you. It's good for you. It keeps you out of trouble. Adam should have been doing a little more of it when he got in trouble. And we would get in a whole lot less trouble if we had a little more work to do. Brother Wally, it's always good to have you in the class. Would you dismiss us in prayer tonight, brother?
Our Heavenly Father, we are admonished here today to bring the message to our children. For each one here today, we pray that has children, and especially those that have wayward children, that they might see the example and turn their hearts to you. We can't do it for them, but Lord, you can put the draw on them, and we pray that we might see revival, that the Holy Spirit might just kind of drop in on us and see a bunch of them get saved. And we pray now that you will bless our teacher. We pray that you will strengthen him, give him good health. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.